In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, we are now in the zone of the New Year's resolution. What are we to be like in this new year, 2022? What are we going to take up? What are we going to give up? What calls for less? Perhaps food, perhaps alcohol, perhaps online shopping, perhaps time spent on social media. And what calls for more? Perhaps exercise or study, or perhaps more reading, more work on the garden, more work on relationships. All these New Year's resolutions draw us towards a richer version of our lives. But often something goes wrong. We self-sabotage. We're pulled back by the weight of habit, by laziness and indifference, by settling for the comfort of familiarity, by the poverty of our imaginations. Some of us have given up making New Year's resolutions because we know ourselves too well. Now, friends, today in our readings, we're given a good picture of what life with God is like and meant to be like, and it's an attractive picture. Yet it's very quickly lost sight of, and we risk falling back into an attitude that isn't right, that isn't good for ourselves or for our world. And this is also named for us this morning in our gospel. The message of our readings today is about God's loving outreach towards us, God's acceptance of us, the God of creation in love with a people, with Israel, and then the church, who become the focus of God's love affair with all creation. And with that message in Jeremiah and in our psalm today, we have perhaps the clearest statement of the gospel, of the Christian good news, in our Ephesians reading this morning. We would do well to revisit that reading during the week and ask what it might mean for us. It speaks of God reaching out for us, embracing us, lifting us up into God's own life, from which we are sent back to the world with a new purpose in life, thanks to Jesus Christ, so that my vocation and yours can now be about living to the praise of his glory. This is a simple, overarching alignment for life, begun in baptism, yet it claims every aspect of our imagination and our action. Now, what does it mean to live for the praise of Christ's glory? What would we look like? Well, it certainly means being servants of love, being agents of grace, being thankful, open-hearted, large-souled, and hence, because we don't put ourselves in the way all the time, able to make a difference. Settled people, self-assured, though anything but arrogant, with Jesus as our touchstone, who we will regularly seek out in times of just sitting quietly, and certainly in regular attendance at the Liturgy of Word and Sacrament. But like a New Year's resolution, this vision of ourselves made richer and fuller in the love of Jesus faces an uphill battle against the worst angels of our nature. The prologue to John's Gospel, which we heard this morning, explains what is actually going on here. Because in reality, human beings have very conflicted attitudes about God. Now, we may say we believe in a God of love, and we hear all that language of love and welcome in our liturgies of baptism and Eucharist and in our Sunday readings. But instead, many human beings are used to feeling threatened, used to regularly being made to feel inadequate. We feel in need of the boost that comes so reliably by thinking and talking ill about others. We resent the limitedness of our created natures, And one result of that is we come to resent our Creator. And in psychologically deeply rooted ways, we associate God with the impositions and unwelcome expectations and the humiliations that life reliably delivers. The story of Adam and Eve exiled from the garden for their uppityness shows us this dynamic. Adam and Eve resent the constraints of their limited human condition, which they see as God oppressing them. So they push back and they eat the forbidden fruit, and then they have to face the consequences of exile to a harsh life. East of Eden, in a phrase that John Steinbeck made his own. So here's the pattern. A God who we think is unreasonably demanding, who we take for a rival, who as a result we experience not as welcoming, but as rejecting and punishing. But instead, friends, in John's Gospel this morning, well, in John's Gospel in general, we are given a picture of the world looking very different. At the end of John's Gospel, which we hear in readings around Easter, the risen Christ appears in a garden, and Mary Magdalene, a kind of new Eve, is sent out of the garden, but not in disgrace, but on a new mission as a witness to God's new creation. Now today, at the beginning of John's Gospel, we have a new account of the creation of the world, recalling the version in Genesis. And there is another expulsion in today's gospel. But look, here it isn't human beings who are expelled by God for their sins. Instead, it's God who we humans expel. It's the Word who comes to his own people, and his own people receive him not. So today's gospel is intended as a reworking of the Genesis story. In keeping with the good news of God's grace and welcome that we can too readily lose sight of. It's not God who curses and expels human beings as a threat to God's sovereignty, perhaps. As Milton's Satan famously declared in Paradise Lost, "I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven." Instead, people act as if God is their enemy, just as we read in John's prologue this morning. I wonder how much of today's widespread unbelief is really resentment of God. And yet, for all humanity's resistance, the word still becomes flesh at Christmas, and a counter-story begins to make its way in history. A counter-story called Church, with a dramatic reordering of human priorities called Eucharist. And friends, this is good news. There is no bad news in it. It offers us a new sense of possibilities, of agency, of welcome change. But it does require us to keep pushing back against the seductive, widespread alternatives which keep trying to steal from us this good news, to make us imagine that God is a threat, to imagine that God is some sort of intrusion on our lives, a God who we can't afford to welcome, and certainly a God who we can't afford to submit to. Perhaps realizing this would be a good New Year's resolution, and one that will stick. The Lord be with you.